Today's episode is brought to you by our friends at DoghouseSystems.com. I play on a Doghouse system, and I love it. Why? Because every game looks amazing. I'm playing Witcher 3, and man, the graphics. The graphics, everybody. The graphics. I can't say enough about them, and you'll love yours too, and I've got a really good deal for you right now. They're redesigning a couple of their mainline desktops and towers, and you need to go check those out. Brand new case, really nice stuff, and they want to give you a deal. All right, so when you check out and pick up a new Doghouse system, you want an additional 120 gigabyte SSD drive? No problem. Use the code FROGPANTS at checkout and you'll get it. That's FROGPANTS at checkout for 120 gigabytes of free SSD at DoghouseSystems.com.
Yeah.
If you drink coffee on an empty stomach, you need a jazz bucket.
You watch close enough. Jazz bucket.
Jazz bucket.
I'll paint your face with my blood!
You're listening to The Instance.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Instance. This is Instance episode 412 for May 22nd, 2015. I'm Scott Johnson, joined today by Willie Dills Gregory. Hello, Dills.
Hello. We're almost up to dank memes number episode 420.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't even think about that. Wow. How are we going to celebrate that?
I don't know. A lot of yellow swagging.
All right. We'll say this a lot. Here, where is it? Oh, can't find it. Nope, here it is. We'll say this a lot.
Smoke weed every day.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's actually the donation alert on my stream.
Is it? Oh, sweet. Yeah. Well, that's how it should be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Also with us, Patrick from France. Hello, Patrick.
Hey, you know, it had been way too long since you had played a I'll paint my face with your blood.
Yeah, very long. Like it used
to be.
Yeah, it used to be a thing that was on the frequent. We had this kid.
I paint your face with my blood.
And we had other people doing it, and it was a big meme for quite a while.
Where's Veronica?
Yeah.
Do we have a Veronica?
I don't know if I have her on here. I know I have her on somewhere.
We have the For the Horde for her.
Yeah, let's see.
I thought we had a paint your face with her blood.
Well, let me find out. Here's all the things I have for her.
Okay.
No, that's sausage.
Veronica and
no.
I'm not cutting in line, bitch.
Okay, not that one. How about this one?
The key? Robot arms.
Okay, that's robot arms.
I should say, like, Scott Johnson is my bitch.
Damn it. I guess I don't.
Hipsters.
Yeah.
Okay, how about this one?
How about a booby?
That's a pretty good one. I don't have it.
It's close.
Yeah. I don't have one. I have a lot, but I don't have that anywhere. Anyway, yeah, it was a big deal for a while, because what was that guy's name? In that dungeon at the end of that thing? And I remember being impressed by it because you were out.
He was the first guy. He was like the first bad boss in Wrath.
Frick.
Oh, now I got to look it up. No, chat room will help. Never mind.
I don't remember his name.
Ingvar the Plunderer.
It's
Ingvar the Plunderer. He will paint. Now I get it confused. He will paint his face with our blood, right?
Yes, correct.
Because if he paints our face with his blood, it gets not only kind of silly, but also very awkward. He's like, no, wait a second. Don't move. All right. A little bit more under your cheek. And, you know, he cuts himself a little bit more to get more blood. And he's like, right, I got that flower just right. Yeah. Excellent. All right. Now we can fight.
Yeah. No, it always reminded me when I'd get it wrong. Do you guys remember? I don't know if you remember this. It's totally unrelated. But apparently, and this was true, they put out some Kiss comics in the 80s. That were based on the band Kiss, and these comic books, the ink,
they had their blood in it.
Yeah, they had their actual blood in the ink.
Yeah,
which was mixed in, you know, not a lot, obviously, because it was spread out over a lot of prints. Yeah, it was really edgy and kind of gross if you think about it. But there you go, Ingvar the Plunderer, everybody.
I think it. Wait, is it? Yeah, it is the Plunderer, isn't it?
Okay. Yeah, the Plunderer, I guess.
All right,
that's my understanding.
I just remember he had a cool bow. Mm. And like right away, you had a cool bow. You beat him a few times.
Yeah, that was all right. That was okay.
So I did that a bunch. The very beginning of Wrath.
So anybody do anything fun in the game before we get to the news? Anything happening in Warcraft other than my constantly checking garrisons and getting some pretty sweet gear as a result? Anything beyond that?
I dipped my toe back into the PvP and realized I still don't like it.
Yeah.
I'm not having a good time right now in PvP.
What is it you think that's happening there? Because there's that's not an uncommon sentiment, and often it's hard to like separate the just, you know, typical angry people rants, which have nothing to do with reality, and actual problems with mechanics or issues with the game right now. What is it about PvP that's leaving you high and dry?
I don't think I can put my finger on it really, other than it's like the itemization and just like, so getting gear was awesome and got it quick and that was really fun. And then once that all happened, now it just doesn't feel as good. So I know they're going to be making a bunch of changes. Also, I just haven't been having, like, the world PvP hasn't been, you know, they've never done Winter Grasp again, right?
Yeah.
They've never kind of gotten that magic back. Yeah. So I just don't feel like there's anything outside of, if I wanted to try to be, you know, a high level arena team with somebody, that was actually enjoyable for a while. But right now it just feels like it's just kind of blah. Like, I'm just like, what am I doing here?
I'm doing
the same thing over and over and over again, and I'm not feeling the reward system. And, you know, I don't know.
I know.
Well, that's what the game is about anyway.
You essentially do the
same thing over and over. But it's funny. I was listening to The Angry Chicken this week, and it was, you were talking at some point about Ashran and, you know, how engrossed everyone was in this. And I thought, honestly, I haven't had time to play. I don't think I've logged in once this week. It's just, you know, between The Witcher and Destiny and everything. But I think I want to go back and try Ashran again, because I've never really delved into it. And I have such strong and good memories of PvP because I used to be into PvP. I did arenas a little bit, but PvP in general, which is less demanding, it was super fun at various stages of the history of the game. And I think I haven't touched it in Draenor, and I'm thinking that PvE is a little bit stale for me right now. So I think I want to get back into PvP, but you're saying it's not.
Well, you know, okay, if you haven't been doing it, you're probably going to come in all fresh and having a great time.
Right.
Ashran is actually pretty fun the first bunch of times you do it. But it's like Winter Grasp, like, held my attention for almost the entire expansion, right? And what happened with Ashran was, it just, like, I went in, I did a few things, and I was turning in some stuff, and I realized this is just going to be me doing the same things over and over again. Whereas in Winter Grasp, I went in, and it was like all about this, like, cool battle and the winning of the battle. And so each time was dynamic.
Is it too much busy work stuff?
Yeah, like little things to do, little side quests to do, go collect this stuff. And then the actual fighting is just kind of this constant pushing back and forth. It's like a tug of war almost. Whereas in, you know, Winter Grasp was going around like, okay, I'm going to go over here and I'm going to go get some big old, you know, machinery, and I'm going to come through and I'm going to have some siege tanks, and then we'll push in from this side. And oh my God, they're through that side of the wall. We all got to go protect that side of the wall. And just that kind of,
yeah. There were tactics. There were tactics to that don't exist in Ashran. There were things like that.
In Ashran, I just feel like I'm just pushing back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And it's like, oh, we won. Oh, they won. Okay, I don't know why or how or what, like, what strategy happened to make that. It just doesn't seem.
So it's kind of like a giant StarCraft II type bio bowl, and everyone's at the same place killing everyone else, and that's it.
Yeah, there's like these little sections of battle, and then there's people running around doing their own stuff on the outskirts.
Yeah.
Collecting things, doing little quests.
Which, you know? I mean, yeah. Look, to their credit, I think the scope of that looks really great on paper.
Sure. No, a couple tweaks, and they could probably turn this into something amazing.
Sure.
But I think that whole defending and attacking thing that Winter Grasp had was awesome. And then, of course, you know, you win it, and then you get to run some PvE content.
Yeah, now that was cool, because those of us who weren't really into PvP as a raid team, it was great when we held it, because we'd be like, all right, we're going to go raid. Wait a minute, do we have Winter Grasp? Oh, we do. All right, quick. Yeah. We got to get down and get to Bugalon or whatever his name was and get, you know, another chance at sweet loot. And that was a really fun aspect to that. And they haven't really done that since.
I think we're repeating the same discussion every episode by now, but it's funny how, again, the rose-colored glasses, because Winter Grasp was a disaster for like the first 6 months of the game. It was always crashing. There were too many people in the zone. They introduced the queue system and then they instanced it completely. And again, we remember only the fun things, which were super fun. And when you're saying all those things, you know, I actively participated in Wintergrass for the duration of the expansion as well, the PvP and the PvE. But if you try to actually remember how it was, at least the first 6 months, everyone was super pissed that it wasn't working and that it was not fun and that it was, you know, broken.
Sure, but in the end, like you've just said, in the end they had it had a very functional, you know, they saw it through basically. And I'm guessing
we have hope. Hope for Ashran. Yeah.
Right.
Like, that it's not I feel like there is, and I know that I've seen Helinka tweet about a bunch of stuff that there's some things going on. I haven't been keeping up with it all because I've just been kind of like, I'll just dip my toes in every now and then, just be like, nope, still don't like this. And then, you know, but I'm sure that a time will come when I'm going to be all in again on the PvP. It's just, it's got to feel good and it's got to grab you again, you know, but I definitely recommend, like, Patrick, you should just jump back in. If you're feeling like PvE is a little stale, the initial kind of burst of gear that you get through PvP too, with the lock boxes and stuff, is actually really fun because you just get a piece. Like, it used to be grind, honor, and now I can afford a piece. But now sometimes it's like, oh, free piece, and it's a good piece, you know.
And it's just really fun. The excitement of PvP is definitely something special. I love PvE, and that's my main thing, definitely. But there is something about PvP. That is just, you know, just a different kind of fun. The battlegrounds and the, I mean, how many times did I play a priest in Arathi Basin just trying to mind control someone and make them jump off the cliff?
Oh, yeah.
That was, you know, just, that is hilarious. And I don't know, it's something special. Yeah. And when it works, when your team is actually doing good work, which obviously it feels like it happens 2% of the time and you lose all the time, but when it works, it's super fun.
Well, that's all I do in Eye of the Storm. That is literally the only thing I do. I just use Power Shot and I use my Explosive Trap Glyphed up, and I just try to knock people off into the the nothing, whatever it is down there. But that's all I do. I'm not helping with the objectives at all because that's the only way I can make it fun now. But that is incredibly fun, by the way.
Well, I
if you haven't done that, Scott, you got it.
I don't know that I have. I feel like I've been the victim of it, but I've never done the.
This is amazing. You can freeze somebody with your frozen. What is it? Ice trap.
Yeah.
Is it freezing? I don't know. Whatever. Yeah. There's two. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know.
You get them, and then you put your explosive trap right in front of them and just knocks them straight back.
Yeah. That one glyph that everyone hated I had in PvE.
Oh, yeah, because you had it in PvE, which makes it completely useless.
Just totally brilliant.
Trying to get DPS off of your explosive
trap. Totally brilliant to have that in the middle of the room. Everybody's got all the reasons in the world to be happy. We've got a grouped up 10 or 15 mobs, and then
we're all AOEing them down.
Now they're all over the room. And it was purely because I would forget, and then I would say, all right, I'm just not going to use that tonight. I'll fix it later. And I just never. Well, I did now. And now it's gone. But eventually I did get around to it. It's so annoying. I was that hunter you don't want on your team a lot of nights. All right. Well, let's get into the news. There are a few things to discuss. And if I could find the bumper, I would. Here it is. All right, let's talk about some of these new drop changes. 6.2 features a litany of changes to how personal loot and group loot work. And here's the nuts and bolts of it, but we can talk as deep or as lightly as we want about the actual effect. They break it down thusly. More items will drop on average for raid using 6.2 personal loot than would have dropped using 6.0 or 6.1 personal loot. A lot of teams, including ours, have sort of bounced back and forth between personal and group because it started to seem that people were getting far less for personal than they were even with that sort of extra layer of RNG with group. And so it would you would both feel like you were being robbed a bit because now the personal role wasn't happening. Now the group role is happening, but you also kind of felt like the group role was providing better chances for you in a weird way. So it was kind of a strange, I don't know, math dichotomy that bothered people. And this is how they're addressing it. Essentially, they're going to have more items drop for personal than did before. Now, how that'll actually manifest itself, who knows? But the other part of this is more items will drop on average for raid using 6.2 personal loot than would drop for raid using any form of group loot, master, need, greed, etc. So all of that stuff seems good. And they say making personal loot will be more, or get, personal loot will be more consistent and rewarding. Don't know what that means, other than do I get it more often? I suppose that makes me happier and therefore feel more rewarded.
Yes.
It's a strange way to put that, but what are your thoughts? What do you think? Like, it's been an issue with our group, with our raid team.
No, it's good. I mean, right now there's a few things that are wrong with personal loot. One being that everybody has an individual role. So sometimes it's possible no one gets anything. Like, mm-hmm. That is technically possible. Sure. It's technically possible everybody gets something.
Yeah.
But very unlikely. But the reason that people were switching, and the thing is that when pugs were getting together and then doing the non-personal loot system, doing the group loot stuff, and then doling out loot, is that you bring back the ninja looter as a possibility, right?
Right.
So that sucks for pugs, and yet when you're doing a pug and you want to maximize your chance to get loot, the group loot option makes more sense, right? So this just makes it so that will never make more sense.
Right.
And personal loot will always be the choice here.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's the whole thing where you get a piece and nobody else knows you got a piece, and then it's like, hey, I got something. And we're like, cool. But now you're apparently going to see that they got a piece, so you can think cool on your own, which is nice if you really wanted somebody in your group to get a piece, you know? So
right.
It also makes it feel like something happened if you see that someone else got a piece, whereas if you don't see it, then the only thing you know is that you didn't get anything.
You didn't get anything, exactly.
Right, mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah. So, no, I think it's good. It makes me think of Diablo, and I don't know if this is a comparison that makes sense, but Scott, you'll remember, I'm sure, that they had an anniversary event, or I can't remember. There was an event where they basically doubled the drop rate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, doubled the loot drop rate. It was before, it was when 2.0 had hit, but it was prior to the expansion, like that 2 weeks or whatever it was, that little chunk of time between.
I think it was after the expansion had dropped.
Oh,
it was for like 2.1 or something like that. They doubled the rate. And they thought it was going to be for a day or two, and that, you know, it was just this event. And everyone was saying, this is so much more fun. We are having enormous fun in here, and we wanted to stay. And they ended up keeping it.
Yeah, I remember that. I thought that was prior to the expansion, but I guess not. I think you're right. It must have been right after it came out. But you're totally right. So. Yeah, I remember being thrilled with it.
So and more loot, more fun.
Yeah.
And you know, obviously, it's like there is a balance to strike, because you don't want to give everyone the example that always gets shown is, well, if the only thing you want to do is just get the loot, then you just go to a guy and press a button and he gives you your super powerful item. That's not fun. Mm-hmm. So obviously you want to work for it and have the hope that you are going to get it. And sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. But at the same time, the limit below which it just becomes frustrating is very, very real. So you don't want to get below that limit either. And sometimes the game designers think this is where we have to put it to make it both challenging and fun at the same time. And sometimes it turns out that this is the reality is very different from what you would expect. I think it might be for a variety of factors. I think there might be some of this here. And personal loot, even though on average, the amount of loot you get is basically the same.
Yeah.
It just feels a little bit more crappy because of the way it's being experienced.
Yeah.
So I think here I surprised myself thinking, oh, well, yes, I want that. I actually want more loot. And even though I've been making fun of you, Scott, because you were saying, oh, I'm never getting anything and I haven't dropped anything and it's super frustrating.
Yeah.
I realized when Blizzard made the promise that we would get more loot, I realized, wait, actually, I haven't been getting a lot of loot either. I wouldn't mind getting more.
Sure.
So,
yeah. And yeah, it's also, I think it's a moving target. That's the other thing. So finding a balance and iterating just right on this sort of thing, whether it be a loot-heavy game like Diablo or one that's a different model but essentially still the same desire on players' parts in WoW, it's this moving target of what is the perfect balance. And, man, that must be hard to hit because what seems like fun and internal testing or even PTR testing may not pan out over time. Or players change in terms of their attention spans or their, I don't know, you know, their whatever the demographic is that affects how they play games may change their perception of where the right balance is or how it feels at any given time. So I suspect, like all video games these days, it feels like, it doesn't really even matter what game we're talking about. There is no such thing as, you know, here's a game, it's finished, we've burned it to a cartridge, and now you will play it on your console forever and it will never change again. And this is just one of those examples. Like, I, you know, whatever they do with 6.2, does anyone in their right mind think that that's what it'll always be for loot? Of course not.
Never. No.
It'll never be.
There's also some other stuff about this, too, that they're going to change some of the stats and how they work so that there's going to be more. It's not going to be just, oh, this item has a higher item level than the one I currently have, so it must be the better one. Mm-hmm. There's going to be more actually, oh, it dropped, and then let's think about this one. One of these is actually going to be better than the other based on the secondary stats. Mm-hmm. And they're going to ramp up items throughout a dungeon.
Right.
So killing the first boss doesn't, you know, sometimes there's, like, my best piece is off of the third boss or something, right?
Yeah.
Whereas then we go fight this incredibly hard boss later, and all the pieces here are kind of crap for me.
This is funny because everything you're saying, it kind of feeds into what Patrick's saying, which is this is very Diablo in thinking. Like, war forging items, like all that stuff is very, I don't know. It feels like I'm not saying they're going to the Diablo team.
How far could they go with this, though? Like, do you think? Because I kind of feel like we could try it out for an expansion or so where you get more loot, but it rolls all of the stats. Mm. And so you can go back in and do a boss again and just, I got a higher roll this time, so now I'll put on this piece.
Well, that's essentially what Warforging is, you know?
Yeah, but it's just, it's one.
Right.
It's one roll. And, like, I guess, well, there's that roll, and then there's a socket roll, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. So you could get Warforged with a socket. But, like, if you had all the stats roll and all this kind of stuff, and then, you know, this kind of legendary gem thing, which I think is awesome. Mm hmm. There's all kinds of cool stuff.
I agree.
There could be, but I mean, you don't want to turn it into Diablo either, because Diablo
you don't want to do exactly the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And but it's even an the loot rate in Diablo is, you know, you're gonna go for a run and you're gonna come back with 15 yellows and 3 legendaries. So. Mm-hmm. And but even most of those are not going to be useful for you. Whereas in WoW, the ones you get, you know, if you're reasonably geared for the content, hopefully if you get something, there's a reasonable chance it's going to be useful for you. So it's a very different model. And you also know in WoW which boss holds the thing you want. So it's not like you can go do anything and some loot is going to drop like in Diablo, mm-hmm, but you're going to go target that thing specifically, which is, again, a different experience. But,
well, it's almost swapped because in Diablo, while it's true that you can get most of the legendaries and greens and stuff from anybody, anywhere, anytime, they have these select things that you can only get off certain things. And even in those cases, you may not even find the select thing until you're lucky, like the cow level for that event recently and all that sort of thing. So they've almost gone completely the other direction, which is get stuff off everybody except for these few items. In this case, we're talking about get these specific items off of specific guys, and maybe there's other world drops or things that you don't know about that are a little bit random. So it's kind of reverse, but I do like the idea of them approaching this from the angle of, like, rolling stats, I think, is a brilliant idea. Because what you end up doing is giving me a lot more reasons to run and rerun
to continue
content.
Rerunning content. Because, the problem I have, too, with the way they do it now, the Warforged thing and the gem slot, is that they're so rare that I'm not really feeling like that's something that's likely to happen, you know? But I do feel like it's likely to get a better version of a set of boots in Diablo. Like, mm-hmm, I always feel like, oh, well, let me check the rolls. Let me see if one's better than the other. Mm-hmm. And I would feel like if all of the items or all of the stats were rolled, you know, including, you know, the agility and the stam and all that, then I would feel like it is likely I'll get a better version this time.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if it's all personal loot and I get whatever and you get whatever and we don't have to dole it out, then it's just exciting to think that, oh, we've killed this boss six times. I might get a better version of this piece.
Well, from tonight. A design perspective, let me ask you this question, if this would bother you as a player. So let's say you and I went in on Thursday and we fought a boss and that boss dropped. Both of us got the boots we wanted. And yours rolled slightly lower than mine did on agility, for example, or what are my key stat for whatever character I'm playing.
Sure.
And does that provide, A, some additional good old-fashioned ribbing of each other? Ah, look what I got. Instead of right now, it's like, oh, it either dropped for you or it didn't, and you can rib each other. Or maybe something got warforged and you went, oh, I got a socket in this one or whatever. That's exciting and everything, and you can kind of rub that in the noses of your fellow hunters. However, would we have that? Or B, would we have resentment that same night dude A got the thing better than I did and we did the same amount of work? Or maybe even you did more DPS than me and I still beat you.
You'd have the same amount of resentment. Actually, I think you'd have it to a lesser degree with stat rolling if the loot was dropping more often. Because the resentment that I felt when I was running with five hunters and they all had the sweet trinket in ICC and I didn't was palpable.
Yeah, I remember that.
It made things uncomfortable between me and the other hunters in my raid.
You didn't ask Dills how he was doing during that time of his life. You asked him, did you get the trinket?
Did you get it? Yeah. The problem, too, was we were using, you know, a DKP system, essentially, where you used your slot to get the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept having to use my slot to get something else because I was like, I'm falling behind if I don't use it.
Right.
And then as soon as I would drop down to the bottom of the list, the damn trinket would drop. And then I'd be like, all right, well, I'll never get it.
I remember that.
But, you know, yeah. I feel like I would much rather have the experience that Scott rolled a little bit higher agility than me than the experience that I'll never get that piece.
Yeah, because you could come right in the very next Sunday and do the exact same fight, end up rolling higher than me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I feel like it could turn around at any moment. And like the luck, it's in smaller increments. You know what I mean? It's not an all or nothing type of luck. It's you got 100% lucky and I got 95% lucky. That's fine.
Yeah, I could go for a Vegas that's more like that, honestly. If Las Vegas is a little more incrementally lucky, I think I'd get gamble more. Anyway, that's interesting. I don't know how all of this is going to play out. Obviously, we don't until everyone starts playing it, but it's the one thing with this patch I'm perhaps the most excited about. It's a little bit meta and unknown, but it does have some promise. So we'll see.
No, absolutely. I think all of these things that they're doing are subtle improvements over what they had before.
Yep. Some would say that's not enough for a patch, but hey, whatever. 6.2 is on the background downloader, which probably means let's do some predicting here. This week, next week, week after that.
It was pretty large too, wasn't it?
Like
2 or 3 gig.
Huge.
Something?
Huge in comparison to the usual patch. But since 2. That's happening, 3.6. That's usually like a 2 week warning or less. I'm predicting we don't even have the end of the season yet, the arena season, right? When's that? Because that usually determines this.
Yeah, it doesn't have to though.
No.
Yeah, they don't have to be.
They could. Yeah. I'm gonna say not next week, but the one after. So not in 3 days, but in 10.
I will just to make it interesting say in 3 days, just to be different than you. But I actually kind of agree with you. I think that's probably likely. Mm-hmm. Okay. What do you say, Dills?
We'll go with Patrick on this one.
Okay.
I don't think we're there yet.
You're all correct. I'm trying to roll some stats.
Someone's got to try.
Why not? So we'll see. That's happening. If you haven't already seen it on your client, then I don't know why it should be there now. The WoW Selfie Scavenger Hunt is happening. It's a sweepstakes. They're giving away prizes for this. Here's the description. It has begun, and every week you have a chance to win Blizzard gear, Battle.net balance codes, or an iPhone 6. It's weird how that's in there. But anyway, and every week you enter to increase your chances to win the grand prize, which is a trip for two to BlizzCon 2015. I know they've been pretty excited about this internally, and I think people are sort of into it externally. They've got instructions on how it works and how to do it. Essentially, there's a lot of sort of taking selfies with your character to match what they're showing in these screenshots and say, okay, I took a shot in the exact same spot with the exact same camera angle. And if you do that, you're entered to win stuff. It seems pretty cool. I don't know. There's still people who hate the selfie thing in the first place and will probably go nowhere near this. But hey, free swag, so why not? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, whatever.
Can we even participate in this? I wonder. I guess we can.
I don't work for Blizzard.
Oh, I'm sure.
I don't have time.
Yeah. Well, that's a different issue.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know about you, Scott. I mean, you get a paycheck.
Right? Well, they're always saying we're in their back pocket. So if we're truly in their back pocket, I'm not sure we're allowed. No, I think anybody can participate, and I'm sure some people will win some cool stuff. I mean, I don't know what's on. They haven't been specific about what Blizzard gear. But one
would hope, that's the thing. What can you get? What can you win?
Sure.
I'm guessing this is like stuff like sweatshirt and things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sweatshirts, bags, hats, you know, the usual. I don't know if this
one
is probably not going to include like Overwatch jackets, is my guess. That'd be nice.
Long underwear. Bras.
Used though. Bashiok's used underwear. Ears. Yeah. Plus one to Bashiok. I don't know. I was actually having a little back and forth with one of the community guys about this, and nobody seemed to know specifically on which prizes were going to be given out other than this iPhone 6 thing. Now the balance codes, I assume that's like money toward game time or something, right? Is that what that means when you say a BattleNet balance code? I don't know what that is.
Well, you can buy stuff with it too, not just game time.
Okay.
By like cards in Hearthstone or whatever.
All right.
It's BattleNet money.
So it's the Blizzard bucks that we talked about forever ago that I've never really had a balance on. It must be that.
It's money. It's like essentially it's like the same thing as having money in your iTunes account or whatever.
Okay.
Exactly.
It's like money. A prepaid card.
It's money
or
that you can never use for anything else, and that's stuck in your BattleNet account.
Okay. That makes sense. So there's that. Good luck, everyone. I hope you win.
I mean, I could go for an iPhone 6. I've been waiting for I'm not upgrading till the next one, so.
Yeah.
A free one, that'd be cool. A little more Hearthstone real estate.
Do you upgrade on the S's? Is that what you do?
Well, I just do it when, it's like when my upgrade is available.
Oh, right.
I don't have to spend, you know, the entire amount of the phone.
Let me tell you the advantage of having three kids who have phones.
You can always hand them down.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you justify getting one for yourself.
Look, yep. When you're paying for it, hell yeah.
That's right. That's what they're here for. They're like bots. Yep. They just do my bidding.
Once they're all gone, Scott, what are you going to do? You're going to have like an old phone.
Well,
you have an old body and an old phone.
Well, Kim and I,
so
even Kim and I are on staggered years. So she's a year ahead of me on her contract.
Okay.
So we swap back and forth between us if we have to, but because she doesn't care nearly as much as I do. But the with the kids, like Nick's contract is up, and he came up to me the other day and he goes, "Dad, I could totally get an iPhone 6S or whatever they're going to call them." And I said, "Yeah, you could, but you won't because I'm using yours." Now go do your homework, you little piece of crap. Anyway, looking forward to that. Orgrim renders. You guys see this? The first look at Orgrim, a character from the Warcraft movie who is looking completely badass and highly detailed and very Warcraft, like current Warcraft in terms of character design. It's beautiful. Originally was tweeted out by, what's his name? Duncan Jones put it up first? I think he might have on Twitter.
Oh, I'm not sure, but I don't think he looks nothing like the actual actor, by the way, which is fine. I don't want him to look like the actor because he's an orc, by the way.
Yeah, Robert Kaczynski is the is the Unabomber and the actor who will be playing. No, it's not Robert, is it? Who is the Unabomber?
I mean, I guess he has some similar facial features, right? Or something, like it's in there somewhere, but it's just very...
Just a little bit, yeah.
It's orcish. It's orcish as hell, so that's awesome.
Who's the Unabomber? What was his name? Unabomber name... Hold on, because I thought it was. Oh, it's John. It's Ted Kaczynski. That's one thing.
Ted Kaczynski. Oh, yeah.
I don't want to confuse these two guys. Just making that clear. They say that it is based both on concept art from Blizzard and from the actor himself, which is interesting. I look at the two and I don't see it, but whatever.
A little bit. There are, like Dills was saying, there are some facial features in the eyes and the.
Yeah.
A little bit.
They say we're looking for someone who would be able to perform the gruffness and the humor and the toughness of this character, says director Duncan Jones, which is why in the first place they hired Kaczynski. So they'd like that about him, and they wanted to sort of match that with this character. Somebody said, where is it? I'm trying to find the quote. Somebody from Industrial Light and Magic said that this is the most advanced stuff they've ever done there. Now,
well, of course, it's the latest movie.
True,
it's always going
to
be
true. But to hear a company like that is the venerable studio that was birthed from Star Wars and is like known the world over as the premier effects studio in the world. Really, I mean, that may have changed lately, but them saying that seems like that's a lot to say, you know, for a company like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to take from it, but I'll, you know, whatever. We'll see.
It's the first thing that comes to mind is, for me at least, this is something that a human could not do, obviously. The orc is the way you imagine an orc when you think of the game. As, you know, we mentioned a few times already, that he's super bulky, he's very wide, he's hulkish. And it's it brings me closer to that idea that the looks, the art of the movie is going to be somewhere between CGI and just reality. Not in the sense that you try to recreate reality with CGI, but that you try to do something a little bit different. Because here, it's photorealistic, but in a way that doesn't look real. I don't know if
it doesn't look like a picture.
Exactly. And that's something that when we saw the teaser at BlizzCon a few months ago, struck me very strongly. It was a real vision from the director that this needed to have a special kind of look that was different from anything we had seen before. Mm-hmm. And it seems that's what they're going for. And I'm really looking forward to seeing atmosphere that creates, what vision he has for all of this. Mm-hmm. I'm very excited.
You have to be careful when you do something this detailed too, because if the characters themselves are this detailed, but say the environment is not, it's going to create like a weird situation where you're just taken out of it, you know? Mm-hmm. So they can't, if you're going to go all in like this and get this detailed, you have to do this everywhere. So this makes me feel like delaying it, if this is what was needed, was the right thing to do.
Yeah, Matt,
I
wondered that same thing after the delay. I saw that delay and then I saw these and I went, oh, well, they probably...
This can't take a short amount of time. Right. This must take forever.
And I'm excited about the idea that a video game movie might eventually in our lifetimes actually be good, you know, because there's really no such thing outside of potentially this.
Tron is... Wait.
Yeah, you get that back.
But you know, that's kind of what we were discussing on Pixels after Avengers 2. It's like that portion of our common geek psyche has been realized, right? The comic book world has transitioned into mainstream through masterfully executed movies and a series of movies.
Yeah.
What is left for, you know, the geeks to actually have entirely inherited the world, as was prophetically announced a while ago, I think we're there. The geeks are the masters of pop culture now.
Yeah.
What's left is video games.
Mm-hmm.
It's for video games to break out into the main, real mainstream of the old media like movies.
Yeah.
And I think this might do it. It's just, this is one of the very few opportunities we're going to have. And if it works out, then we're going to start seeing many more very high budget, very seriously approached and realized and artistically designed movies from video games property that are not just, oh, we'll make this into a video game because there's a following for it and we can make a quick buck, but this can be turned into a real box office winner, just as Avengers or Star Wars or all of those geek culture icons have managed to be. So,
mm-hmm. So what games do you think get this kind of treatment? What games do you think are big enough in scope
I think you could do Assassin's Creed well. I think you could do...
Assassin's Creed could have a bunch of... They could also just make a whole crap ton of those.
Yeah, they like the games themselves. Yeah, and they've and that's cast and being in pre-production, and you know that that thing's happening. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how that turns out. But you could take, I think, any of the big.
I think marketing. Skyrim.
Oh yeah, could totally. Be awesome.
Yeah, Skyrim. Totally. Yeah,
some
sure,
kind of Elder Scrolls story would be great. In fact, the success, not unlike the way it worked in MMOs, the success of Warcraft in film could dictate whether you would ever see an Elder Scrolls
exactly.
based
that's,
movie.
That was my point. Yeah, I hope it does well because that's gonna be. A measuring stick of whether or not those things can, if you put the kind of care and love into creating it that actual movies deserve. So.
Yeah.
In the past, I think they've just chosen the wrong stuff too. You know, like does anyone remember Doom?
Yeah, like Doom was shit.
Doom movie.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think
this is like I can't believe they even tried with
terrible.
Like
I don't know. Yeah, the movie was terrible, but I think there is something about the idea that you send a crew to Mars and you find out that something's happened and the doors of hell have been opened, and there is a way of making it into, you know what, they managed to make Captain America, Thor, and Iron Man into actual awesome movies. I think there's nothing that cannot be done.
I agree.
And
I agree.
Shouldn't be discounted.
I agree. It's all about focus and story, and not being afraid to go all in on the lore and to, you know, treat fanboys with respect. And comic books largely have succeeded in film because they've decided to embrace that. The best ones have.
Exactly,
yeah. They've said, you know what, we will make an Ant-Man. Why not? It was great in the comics. Why can't we make it great here? 20 years ago, people would have been terrified to go near that freaking thing. So
how about how about Grand Theft Auto, the movie?
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah. Isn't that, do something there?
I think it would be absolutely awesome. Especially Grand Theft Auto 5 has, I mean, the entire world of Grand Theft Auto is,
it's just a big movie anyway.
Yeah, well, it is, but I mean the value of it is the satirical nature of the game.
Sure.
It's
sure.
Yeah. A satirical, hilariously funny version of America.
Yeah.
And that is what gets constantly lost in the perception that that you know the traditional media has of the game. People don't realize how funny and well written it is.
Well,
so
it's the entire thing. Yeah, the entire thing pivots on the satire. People forget entirely that what they're seeing is not a game maker's attempt to say, let's glorify some violence. What it's doing is holding a mirror up to the stereotype and saying, haha, look at this. And that's where it's best.
By the way.
Yeah.
You know, of politics, of advertisement, of you can listen to shows on the radio that are hilarious parodies of what you can actually listen to on actual talk radio. You
sure.
have TV shows in the game, you have just the interaction between the people and the ridiculous teenagers that want to go on silly outrageous reality shows. And I think there's material for a movie there.
Absolutely. Maybe so much so that they would be overwhelmed, because you really could go crazy. It's essentially Goodfellas meets Tarantino meets a big ball of satire.
Well, it's a mob film. It's a crime drama with a lot of that satirical stuff around it too. So you have to have those moments. You got to throw in a moment where you just steal a car from a lady driving down the street and like all that.
Yeah,
stuff
of course.
Too.
Yeah, and do something crazy with that car. So throw in a little Fast and the Furious kind of thinking, and you got your movie.
Jump crazy jumps over all kinds of stuff. Like your car
it
flips
might be
three times and lands just fine.
It might be too much. Grand Theft Auto might.
You got to be careful. But
all right, who do you cast as Trevor? Who do you cast as Trevor? Just that, we got to answer that question.
Oh,
this is hard. If you had a buffer younger and crazier Steve Buscemi, you could go that way.
Buscemi wouldn't be bad.
Yeah. Buscemi. You know what? Just give it to Buscemi. He's getting a little bit old, but whatever. Buscemi, he's pretty good in that.
Dice Tomato says, "Hey, none of this worked for the Need for Speed movie." No. We're talking about making a good movie.
The Warcraft movie comes, and the whole idea of making a video game movie is not. Did they try to do that with Max Payne? Was that the idea?
That was the idea.
Was that they were finally making a good one?
Well, there's the problem with Max Payne as it was presented, and Doom, and any of these movies, is that they've gone so literal to like the game. They want to make the mechanics matter or whatever. The Warcraft has an advantage here.
Yeah,
because you're not going to make a Pac-Man movie unless you 3D animate it. All right, you could maybe Pixar that thing. But you're never going to make a.
They're making that movie, Scott.
Are they? Pixels. I hope the Pixels thing looked real bad.
And by the way, Need for Speed. Any of the Need for Speeds we remember are the ones from EA, which are which got their popularity back from the Fast and Furious movies, by the way. So in a way, the Need for Speed movies already exist. They're called Fast and Furious.
Yeah, there was that was a weird cash in thing for them anyway. And now that series is kind of in the toilet again.
They were cashing in on that and, you know, Breaking Bad's breakout star, right? Like, they were trying to like combine all of that together.
Oh, that Need for Speed movie was the actual Need for Speed movie, right? Right.
It was terrible. It was terrible.
They're like, we're going to put together Fast and Furious with the guy from Breaking Bad.
No, they just need their Kevin Feige or whatever his name is at Marvel. They need, who is that guy who is coming, who is an adult now, who grew up on games, who's ready to take this stuff into that place and do it with daring strokes and get the right suits behind it that are willing to put the money behind him and take the risk. That's all it is. And this is maybe it. Maybe it is Duncan Jones and... And
that's what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
A pivotal moment for video games and movies.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I'm not going to go into the Warcraft movie with Patrick-like expectations. I'm going to go in with reasonable Dills expectations, and I'm just going to let it happen.
Yeah.
Because I'm so scared of not liking this movie. Yeah. You know, I really don't want to not like
it. I am too.
I really don't think it is possible for us to not like that movie.
I'm just going to like it no matter what.
Yeah, exactly. They just need to have an orc go like, Orgrim, we need to stop Gul'dan. And we're like, yes, you do.
You do have to stop him. Gul'dan's a total prick. Go get him. Yeah, we're loving it. But I want the world to love it, and I want to see more of it.
Yes. Yeah, that's, I think, the thing I'm worried about. That's I want everyone to like this movie.
I'll tell you what, after seeing Fury Road, which I cannot stop thinking about and loved beyond any movie I've seen in probably the last 10 years.
Again. Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah, you got to see it. It's if they even borrowed, they could borrow a few things from it action-wise. Like, I just want them to take everything they need to from every other genre or thing to make Warcraft as good as it can be.
I think they need to focus on Warcraft. And by the way, I would love to talk with you about Fury Road for, you know, 15 minutes, but... Yeah. They need
movie.
To focus. I would disagree. I think they need to focus on Warcraft and make it its own thing, and keeping true to Duncan Jones's vision and Blizzard's guidance for a movie that is uniquely Warcraft.
They completely agree.
Turn around and go, you know, oh, that worked in Fury Road. We should do more action.
Yeah,
and,
no,
oh,
I don't.
That was fun.
I mainly say it in jest, but I just have to say for the record, I've never seen shit like that in my life. It blew my mind.
What I loved about what, you know, everything I've heard so far, and I haven't seen it yet, is that they stayed super true to like what Mad Max really is. Like,
the essence of it, the feeling of
it. That's
what
I was worried about. It's like, don't turn it into some big futuristic, like, no, this everything is destroyed. You know, like, that's the thing. It's
amazing.
All destroyed.
It's
everyone's
amazing.
Figuring it out again.
Yeah. You know?
What George Miller did with Fury Road is something that I didn't believe anyone could do in any form. He took what Mad Max meant back in the early 80s and created something that was, you know, that is today just as riveting and keeping you on the edge of your seat and incredibly artistically, again, conceptually well-designed, just as it was. You know, when you look at Mad Max today, the initial ones, it's kind of tame, it's kind of silly, it's kind of funny. But at the time, it was crazy.
Yeah.
And he managed to upgrade the feeling to make everything fit today's world and make it just as crazy as it felt back then without making it camp or silly or too much. And he does... through visuals, he narrates things that he never needs to explain. You know, he doesn't need to explain the weird things that you see. And every time you see them, you're like, oh my God, that means this and that. And that's here because of that. And it's a pretty crazy.
And the guy is 70 and he went from, just I want to clear this up for people. He went from, all right, Mad Max, Road Warrior, Thunderdome. And then he went, all right, Witches of Eastwick, fine. I'll do your mainstream movie. Oh, and then also I'm gonna go do Babe. Then I'm gonna do Babe, Pig in the City. Then I'm going to do Happy Feet. Then I'm going to do Happy Feet 2. And now at age 70, I'm going to come back to Mad Max and I'm going to destroy the world with this movie. It is insane that he has that kind of variation to his career and still
has. I think the next movie, Babe Fury Road. So it's just pigs, like an hour and a half of pigs driving cars.
Yeah.
And they're jumping on each other's cars and killing each other. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
And being super cute at the same time.
And also talking. Yeah.
Mad Babe, that'll do pig edition. And it'll just be this insane. Yeah, it's really something else what that guy's accomplished. I was completely blown away.
No more talking. I need to go see this.
All right,
movie.
Go see it. And as far as
I'm seeing it this weekend. For
the
sure.
Warcraft movie, the only final thing I would say is them deciding to go with orcs that aren't just dudes with makeup on gives them the opportunity, because the designs are already very stylized. They have been, and that's, I think, one of the reasons World of Warcraft holds up over so many years is the decision to go stylized in both the world and characters gives them a lot of leeway in terms of expression and sort of character movement and this sort of thing. You don't get like vacant stares like in the Final Fantasy movie, or this feeling that there's a robot behind those eyes. They have an opportunity here with big brows and big expressive mouths and high cheekbones and this ability for them to emote in ways that feel right. And just coming from that perspective, I feel like this is the right move.
I think there's going to be a scene that is going to be insane that we couldn't have believed would have happened. Was there's going to be a huge weight in a scene when the first human... A human first encounters an orc and walks like right up to him, and the orc is like twice the size and thrice the weight.
Yeah.
And he looks up in his at the thing that is in front of him, and because they went with CG, they will have the ability to convey that kind the brutishness of these creatures.
Yeah.
In a way that would obviously have not been possible in any other way, and the bestiality of the orcs and the duality between the orcs and the humans, and both of those are gonna benefit. You know, they're gonna gain character and allure, and you know, it's gonna be nuts.
Well, I'm completely in agreement. I can't wait. It's gonna be rad. And those who are worried about CGI mixing with people, just the Hulk is your example right now in Avengers. I feel like that's your good analog for how well that can be done. So,
you know, Roger Rabbit just proved that he would never have anything to worry about.
I watched that a couple of weeks ago. That kind of holds up.
Which one? That movie is great.
It weirdly holds up. Yeah, it's
that
way better than you think.
Great.
It's pretty good. Those weasels, the bad guy weasels, they're amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Which one?
Who framed Roger Rabbit?
Ah.
You ever see it?
Oh, yeah, of course. Oh,
okay, good.
A long time ago.
It holds up more than you think.
Just the first time there was like, it was cartoons with real people.
Yeah.
First time that was really a thing.
Really weird. Heroes Beta is now open beta, so go get in there. Full release
everyone
in June.
Everyone can play.
Yeah, everybody can play.
So I have like 12 keys I never gave away. Sorry.
Sorry, everybody. I gave away like 100 over the time.
I gave a lot away, but at a certain point, it didn't feel like that many people didn't have them.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's a lot of people going, what? Screw you, Dills. I still didn't have one. But
no, I don't think there are many of those.
It seemed like anyone who wanted to play was able to get one. It wasn't like, I think with Hearthstone, there was much more of a feeling of people really wanting these beta keys and not having access to them. And maybe there was just less available or something.
Yeah.
But
I feel like we got flooded with Heroes keys in the end.
Yeah.
There was
we did.
I can tell you that Hearthstone was insane and we didn't have enough keys, and it was crazy. The
lengths people were going to get them too. Yeah. People were paying dollars to get them on eBay.
They were
wasn't that the case when they started changing things? They said, look, we're gonna start making account betas, and I think that was the thing that caused it.
So what happened was that there were people, the keys were so much in demand that some companies or whatever were creating scripts to flood the websites that would deliver the keys in plain text. And the scripts would crash the websites because they would refresh all the time because they knew the keys were coming.
Yeah.
At that point, the Blizzard basically said, all right, guys, we need to clean this up and we're going to require people just, you know, like it happened for WoW. It was you needed to get people to create an account and send the key through private messages. You know, you couldn't put it in plain text in a page that anyone could load, mm-hmm. Stuff like that, because it was just a very bad experience for the users. So,
yeah, fascinating stuff. What else is happening? Lots of Overwatch videos been posted. You guys been watching that? Some of this, like 16 minutes of,
there's been some actual play and stuff you can kind of look at and
feel like
I'm super excited.
You feel like that's leading up to something, beta talk, something maybe?
No, they've already said, it was going to be, the beta was going to start in the fall. So I don't think if they hadn't said that, I would have been very excited for, E3 or maybe Gamescom, but they've already said the beta is going to come in the fall. I think that this feels like videos that they needed to get up there, mm-hmm. and that they didn't have time to do before, or maybe they're putting them up now that they're having a little bit of downtime. Maybe it's videos that they are going to be using in the game to, you know, illustrate the character that you are going to choose before you choose it.
Sure.
To show what it does.
Yeah,
and so
that.
They're getting them cranked now.
I wondered about that too. They feel tutorially based a little bit. You could edit those down to show abilities and things like that.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, fascinating stuff. Yeah. One final note about Heroes, and then we'll get to Town Crier real quick. So we're doing a Frog Pants tournament. We don't have dates yet, but we're working on some bracketing systems and some other stuff to have it in place very soon, so that you and any skill leveled 5-man team can enter. There'll be prizes and all kinds of cool stuff at the end. So just keep an eye on my Twitter at Scott Johnson. I'll let you guys know what's going on with that.
When do we start practice, Scott?
Soon. We were just talking about that the other night too. So Dills is on my team. Sorry, everybody. I get him. So is Gorath. Those who have played with him know that's a huge get. John Jagger and a few others are all lined up. So I've got my team well in the works. I want to see what everybody else provides. I wish we could do this over regions. I hate that it's region locked. It totally bugs me because I'd love to do some of this with people overseas like Patrick and others. But hey, we'll take what we can get. Details soon. I'll have a website up where people can sign up soon, all that stuff. So keep an eye on that. All right. How about a little of this?
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why? It's the Town Crier.
It is the Town Crier. Also, sorry, chat room. Apparently, the IRC is farting up a storm today. I don't know what's happening. It's kicking people off just in mass, and then they're all coming back after a time.
I noticed there was less chat and more weird IRC messages.
Yeah, okay. Like right now, there was a huge kick just now. And I don't
basically
know.
Everyone got kicked, and I was...
Yeah, I don't know. That was really weird. Anyway, Town Crier is where we take your phone calls and your emails. Phone calls come to us at 801-471-0462. Or you can leave us an email at theinstance@gmail.com. We got a call today about our memories.
Hey, guys. This is Jim from Akron, Ohio, calling for The Instance. I just wanted to comment on a discussion you had last week about nostalgia. And, Scott, you made a comment about how Molten Core was bad. And I just wanted to kind of respectfully disagree with that. It was good at the time. I mean, I think a good analogy is you wouldn't say, you know, I love my PS4, but man, the PS1 was just so bad. At the time when the PS1 came out, we really enjoyed it. It really gave us everything we wanted to at the time. We just didn't know anything better back then. But I think to really appreciate where raids are going, you kind of have to appreciate where they've been and recognize the groundwork that Molten Core laid and how we were able to build on that and improve it. And I just wanted to kind of throw that point out there and love the show. Love everything you guys do. I've been a long time listener and keep it up. Thank you.
All right. So I agree 100% that at the time it seemed great and that in retrospect it seems bad. But that's all I ever said or meant is that it wasn't. Yeah. I don't think any of us, we thought it was, the whole point of nostalgia is you think it's better than it was in light of even what's happening today. In other words, you hear about Molten Core and go, oh yeah, that's great. Even though you've played way better content, you still think that was great. You go back and see it again and you go, ugh, this is not very good compared to what I'm doing now. That's all I was saying.
The truth is there are very, very few anything that hold up to that scrutiny. If you go watch, and I know there are some people who like old movies and some people like, you know, maybe literature holds up, mm-hmm. And music, but movies I don't think hold up very well. And games... certainly are. Nostalgia is full on when you do that. But I think we're all in agreement that when we were making Molten Core, it was super fun. I think what we're saying when we say it's not really good is the idea that people are asking for it to come back. Mm-hmm. You know, people saying, oh, back then it was good and we want to play that today. And when we're saying, no, you don't, it means it was good at the time. Exactly what you're saying. Sorry, Johnny, was it? Mr. Kohler?
Something.
What we're disagreeing with is people who are saying we want to play that today. What we're saying today, it wouldn't hold up. It just wouldn't be fun. Mm-hmm. But yeah, back then it was insane going in with 40 people and needing to be coordinated to do the thing you needed to achieve and making sure it was nuts. It was super fun.
By the way, Apocalypse Now totally holds up if you're talking about movies. It looks like it was filmed.
Yeah,
today.
Some of them might.
Yeah, like a year ago. If you didn't know that. Like, if you just pretend that it's a younger Sheen, like there's no such thing as a really old Martin Sheen now, you'd swear that movie was made like a year and a half ago. It's crazy. But you're right. As a rule, generally, we are an iterative race of human beings. We make new stuff, and it's often better because we learn from the old stuff. I don't see why video games would be any different.
And, you know, it's also about being adapted to your environment and your current culture. We were talking about Mad Max just a few minutes ago. Mad Max 1, it's still okay, but it's just not, first of all, it's not shocking all that much when it was very shocking at the time. It's not so fast. It's not so exciting just because society has changed and evolved. And it also plays a role into it. It's not necessarily that it's become bad because we're now doing better things. I think it plays into it, but also we're doing things that are more adapted to our tastes that have evolved.
Well, as FDR once said, history is a rising road, and I agree with that. All right.
Yeah, it's just funny to hear people talk. So, like, this happens in everything too. This is not in one particular. Like, Scott, you tweeted out the other day, "Oh, the smartphones are making us all mindless zombies," and then it's a picture of everybody reading the newspaper, right?
On the bus, and nobody talking to each other.
Nobody talking to each other. Yeah, and it's just like, you know, people are just people, and people are going to keep doing what people do.
Sure.
And like, you know, I go to a baseball game with my stepdad, and he's like, "All this stupid in between inning stuff every time." And it's like, well, you know, people like it, man. What's wrong with it? Like, it was better back in my day when we just sat and watched a game and didn't talk.
Yeah.
And there was no black people. It's like, no, you know, it's actually better now. Let's just realize that it's
people,
better
man.
Now.
That's amazing. You sound like
things get better.
You have my wife's relatives, is what that sounds like. All right. Let's do an email here.
That's not my stepdad.
No.
It's a crotchety version of
sure.
stepdad.
There you go. Very nice. Somewhere. I'm sure they exist. Mo wrote in, says, "Hello, Instance Crew. Quick question for you all. What do you think about Blizzard raising the free account level from 20 to 60? We all know Blizzard is not going to FTP anytime soon. Free to play, that is. Not file transfer protocol. But with the big push to boost a character to 90, this expansion effectively skips all the earlier content. Why not allow players the ability to play vanilla and classic WoW until 60, and a lot of that's Cataclysm, of course, and experience the true awesomeness of Azeroth versus the starting zone and maybe a dungeon? Love the show. Keep up the great work." Yeah, why not do that? I feel like 20 levels is so dumb and nothing now that it's not really that big of a benefit.
Yeah, it's not a real taste of the experience at all anymore, is it?
No, used to be, but it's so compressed now that there's no real, like, literally 1 to 60 is probably closer to what 1 to 20 used to be in terms of how long it took and,
they could even just go to like 40 or something. Now it's still like, I agree with this guy.
Yeah.
It's a delicate balance though. I think if they ever go semi-free to play, that is probably the way they would do it. Give you a little bit more of content before you need to pay. But the thing is, if you play for the first time, you don't really realize that there is an entirely different game at the level cap. So I think it might be easy for you to go from 1 to 60 and think, well, I've played the game. You know, I'm satisfied with my experience with the game. I've played 60 levels. It has filled, you know, whatever, 2-3 months, however long it takes for you to get to 60 in that nowadays. and then you're not willing to go any further. So I think that there's a very delicate balance they have to strike between providing you enough content to give you a taste of the game and providing too much so that you actually get your fill.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I would worry. I think going to 60 might be so much content that people get their fill of WoW instead of just a taste and wanting to buy to play more.
It's also weird to me how the word would actually get out to the right people, because the people you want knowing about that are people who've never played or new players who mm-hmm. now want to experience this. And it's just such a different world than it was in 20 or 2004. There's so many other things vying for their gaming attention that how do you even let people know that a 10-year-old game outside of our own inner circles and us telling our friends and everything, it just feels like it's hard to even get people to go, ooh, now I'll finally get into WoW because I can do up to 60.
Yeah, exactly.
I've waited 10 years to do this. Like, it doesn't, I don't know. The whole thing's kind of broken in that way. But
yeah, try to put yourself in the shoes of a person who has never played WoW.
Yeah.
And so you start the game and you're like, or, you know, you someone tells you, you know, you used to be able to go to 20 for free, but now you can go to 60. And they're like, oh, well, in that case, I'm going to play it.
yeah, finally.
And then you start playing the game, and if it stops at 20, you've had a reasonable experience of what the game is. Does it bring anything? We're talking about the company now. Does it bring anything to Blizzard to let you go until 60? I'm not sure it does. It brings something to you, the player.
Point.
You're having more fun for free, mm-hmm. but Blizzard is a company that wants to make money off of you, and I don't think giving you more levels in that way, it doesn't really work for them.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it does, but
no. I mean, I think these are all solid points. I just think that you don't get like you at 20. You're not really invested enough to then think like, well, now I want to continue this story.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
You barely spent any time, and you know we get this all the time with the, you know, the company I work for. We do this like podcasting thing, right? We have this free level, and you can start podcasting for free. Well, the thing is once you've made a podcast and you've done a couple episodes, now you're more likely to want to pay some money to keep doing it once you've kind of gotten your feet like really wet. You know, mm-hmm. it's like, but if you just made one episode and then we were like, all right, cool. Now, if you want to make another, that's you got to pay.
Mm-hmm.
You have to let them kind of get into it a little bit. And then they're like, oh, man, this is awesome. And people are starting to listen to it and stuff. And I think you have to get them to the point where they can run a few five mans. They can have chosen a few talent points. Mm-hmm. They can have done a few decisions along the way to then go, now I'm invested in this character I made. I don't want to stop.
One to 60 is a much better plan in the light of current talent systems anyway. Because you get
one talent point by 20.
Yeah, that sucks.
So you picked one talent point. Like, I don't really care. You haven't even sent your character off in a direction really yet.
Yeah.
And if you want to convince them like that there's more cool stuff later, like maybe you just pepper in some cutscenes when they log in every now and then of, here's the Burning Crusade opening cinematic and here's the whatever. And you just kind of go like, by the way, this content is out there. You just got to get
that's a decent
things.
Idea. I mean, I just don't like Patrick's right that maybe it doesn't net Blizzard much in terms of a return, but does it actually hurt them really? Not really. They just raise the cap.
Yeah, it's just you got to like actually grab them. They have to be invested. That's all.
It's
I
not
mean.
Like they're
I guess
lose
the entire
money.
Question is whether or not they're grabbed by 20 or not.
Yeah.
You have to do some research. That,
right, right. right.
Like Blizzard probably does know the numbers on this, but like how many people do the free thing then get to 20 and then never play again and then bail.
Based on those numbers, they may, you know, maybe they can go back to that same group and say, hey, how about we let you go to 60 now? Remember that fun you had for 20? How about this? You know, I don't know.
There might be something like at 20. Do you even have a mount yet? Or is it 30 now?
I think it's 30, right?
It's been a while.
No, 20. Yes. You get it at 20.
So then at 20 you get a mount, but you can't level anymore, right? So right. I don't know. Like it's having that mount and leveling with the mount and stuff, that could be a thing. You know, it's like there's just
level 20 slow mount. Yeah, that's disappointing at 20 if you're not playing.
I can't say I know which way is technically gonna net more people to actually pay some money, but there is a sweet spot in there somewhere, and they just have to figure that out.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a real challenge for them. You know what? I think I know how Blizzard has challenged or has met the challenge of we don't know how to get new players because they're all focused on other kinds of games these days. This is a different time than it was 10 years ago. And the way they've done it is they've said, Let's make a popular MOBA. Let's make a popular competitive card game. Let's make a popular this and that. Like, they're branching out to shooters, for hell's sakes. In a way, that may be their answer to saying, well, it doesn't have to be that we rope them into WoW necessarily. We'll get those automatically, but let's rope them into our ecosystem, which will rope them into the other games, which will eventually maybe even get them roped into WoW again.
Well, no. I think if you know, raising the level cap to 40 for the free game was a way to get more people into WoW, they would do it, no question, of course.
Right.
You know, it's not like they're doing all of these other things as well, which is great and is what they should be doing. But believe you me, if they can get more people in WoW, that is going to be something they're not going to, you know, disregard or even be lazy about.
Oh, if
raising the level cap for the free game was, you know, the starter edition was had a positive impact on the game subscribership, they would do it immediately.
I guess they would.
Absolutely, yeah. But have they done the research on that? Like, I'm sure that someone out there that's his job is to figure out if it's working or not. But until you actually like A/B test that, you know, like, so we did offer 20, now we're offering 40. Is it working more if we offered 40? Oh, it's not working more. Okay, well, we'll never raise it again because it doesn't seem to make any difference.
Yeah,
but you'll never know until you try that, right?
That's why a PTR exists. Same thing. It's a different kind of thing, but it's the same thing.
But yeah, but it's similar. Yeah,
you got to have some real world.
It's a different kind of similar.
Both next to each other.
Yeah,
and that's something that we do all the time too, and a lot of companies do this where, you know, you'll offer two versions of a product, but you don't, like, people don't know that they're getting two versions, and then you just kind of keep track on what's going on in one. Yeah.
I like the phrase different kind of similar thing that Patrick just said.
Yeah, different kind of similar thing. Yeah.
That ends the emails.
We all know what that means.
Yeah, we know exactly what you mean. That's it for emails. Thank you all for submitting them. Again, participate in that way. You're more than welcome to. theinstance@gmail.com is our email address. Call us 801-471-0462 and leave us a voicemail. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the end of the show. Thank you all for being here and enjoying it with us. Let's go around the horn to see if anybody has anything coming up this week they want to talk about. Patrick, you got anything people should be checking out?
Well, I'm recording the Phileas Club tomorrow.
Nice.
That should be fun. We're going to have a Swede, a Jordanian, and maybe even Turkey from Saudi Arabia. We'll see if he manages to make it. And we're going to be talking about what's been happening in our respective corners of the world. So it should be fun.
I always enjoy the ones, you might be surprised, that don't have an American on them. Because there's something about that is, I don't know, there's something about that I like. So there you go. I like being on that show quite a bit, but I'm the default American. It's nice to hear it when there's not one.
And you can listen to it at frenchspin.com.
It's a great show, everybody. Very good stuff. Very intellectual and way beyond our mere video game talk. I can promise you that. Dills, anything in your world you'd like to mention?
I'm probably not going to be streaming very much while the Warriors are in the playoffs because, you know, that takes a whole night, man.
Yeah.
A whole night, and then I got to celebrate afterwards. You know how it is.
Yeah.
But I will be doing some streaming this weekend, mostly Heroes of the Storm and Hearthstone, in between Warriors games because it's a 3-day weekend. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
So check that out. We got to get some practice time in it, Scott.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Trying to win this thing, damn it.
Completely agree. I don't want to go on. We are in this one to win it, as far as I'm concerned.
All right.
Speaking of Heroes, we'll have a chance to play again live on the NVIDIA stream this weekend.
That's tomorrow, right?
Yeah. And if you're around, you should hop in on that.
All right, I'll hop in on that. So, if you want to check me out, it's twitch.tv/WillyDillsSF. And then,
nice.
Of course, the Angry Chicken
on
Mondays.
Very good. Very good indeed. I guess that's it. The NVIDIA stream this weekend, 3 to 6 p.m. Pacific at twitch.tv/NVIDIA. There's a million things going on. Nerdtacular's coming up real fast. Blah, 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 blah. Just a million things. Just follow us all on Twitter. Not Patrick, Willie Dills, Scott Johnson, and the_T. Terpster's at a conference this weekend and not here, obviously. I guess that's going to do it for us. TheInstance.net is our website. We're at Instant Show on Twitter if you want to follow the show. Our theme was created by Matthew Oxley. Same with our outro. Big thanks to Paul Swickard, who keeps up the website. More great shows like this at frogpants.com. It's going to do it for us, for me, for Patrick, and for Dills. We'll see you next time.
Oh, we forgot to talk about Orc Nipple.
Oh, no,
damn
Orc
it.
Nipple! Too late. Well done, everyone.
Hello, friends, and welcome to Reputation Boost, helping you earn that all-important reputation in the world of Warcraft. This week, we take a look at the Arakoa Outcasts. As their name implies, they're a collection of Arakoa who have been exiled from the spires, and unlike the others, their bodies are twisted and hunched over. But now is your chance to befriend them, and gaining their favor will earn you some great rewards, so let's go. While you're leveling out there, you'll encounter various quests that will reward reputation with this faction. If you continue to complete those quests, you should find yourself somewhere around revered with them by the time you finish everything out there. Once you've exhausted all the questing, you're left with a couple options. You can head to Skedis or the Lost Vale Anzu and begin killing enemies there that are level 100. They'll begin to grant you reputation. You can also gain reputation with the garrison mission called the Bloodmane Scrolls. That'll grant you a reward called the Relic of Rukmar, and that will give you 2,500 base reputation. So if you got any tricks with reputation boosts in there, make sure you use them, and be very, very lucky if you're a human character. Some of the notable items are the Son of Seth, which is a battle pet for 1,000 gold and 2,000 Apexus crystals. You can obtain that once you're revered, and once you're exalted, you can drop 5,000 gold and the same number of Apexus crystals for the Shadowmane Charger, a sweet blue Talbic mount. So there you go, another faction down on your path of becoming the most reputable hero in the history of Azeroth. Remember to tune in each week at repboost.blogspot.com, and you'll be able to get another tip with another faction. Until then, this is Frosty, and may the light be with you.
Thrumka, and welcome to Ask Miss Mulgra, your source on matters of etiquette in Azeroth. Today's question is, may I hold it against my mate that he gave me cheap Apexus crystal earrings for my birthday instead of getting me real gems? I think you might misunderstand how Apexus crystals work. First, they are a valuable currency for upgrading your best gear. Would you not like to sport the latest style of shoulder pads to go with your best chainmail blouse? Second, Apexus crystals are very hard to get. Your mate must have worked very hard at his daily garrison quests and hunted many rare beasts to get some of the really nice ones. And he may have had to send all his followers out on missions to get the crystals, probably while he was sitting in his garrison tavern, telling stories and drinking a cold pint of... You're right. Your mate is a lazy peon. Teach him a lesson by trading your earrings for a shiny new mace. Then show him how well you can wield it. I am Miss Mulgra, and that is my advice. Akamagosh!
Follow at Miss Mulgra on Twitter, or listen to previous episodes at missmulgra.com.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com. Hey guys, quick small reminder that Terpster and I do another show now, and it's one that many of you already may be familiar with. Some of you are already listening now again. Is this confusing? Well, it should be. The show is called Hypothetical Help. We are three episodes in. We record our fourth next Tuesday. It is a weekly show helping people with real problems with little to no actual skills or qualifications. It's really fun, and we have a great time doing it. Details at hypotheticalhelp.com. Subscribe today.